It's a team effort. You know, obviously I wasn't hitting the game, but they came through, you know, in the fourth quarter, and we got the win as a collective unit. Moving on. As long as we win and it's successful, that's all I care about.
NBA Summer League is winding down, and you heard Lonzo Ball. It's all about winning and not about the shoes. Well, good morning and welcome to another edition of Out of Line. I'm Brian Feldman, and we are here every Sunday from 8 to 9 on the official radio home of the NHL's newest franchise, the Las Vegas Golden Knights. Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM and 1340 AM. I said we because, as always, future Nevada Hall of Fame producer Magnum is also here. We are coming to you live from the Fox Sports Studios in Las Vegas and streaming on LVSportsNetwork.com. You can follow the show on Twitter at Out of Line 1340 AM and on Facebook. The page is called Out of Line. That's OUTTALINE. Without you, there's no show. So if you have something on your mind, give Magnum a call. Turn down your radio and say what you got to say. The Fox Sports studio line is 702-876-1340.
Hi, this is Bubby, and it's time for What's on Tap.
What's on Tap is pouring out thanks to Bubby's University, and even though it's midsummer, we will be spending a decent amount of time this morning, again, talking basketball. As most of you know, the NBA Summer League is here and is more popular than it's ever been. Why? If you, like millions of others, are an NBA fan, you probably already know. And speaking of the NBA Summer League, it looked like deja vu all over again for the Philadelphia 76ers. But as it turns out, the injury to the NBA's number one draft pick, Markelle Fultz, was only an ankle sprain. Today on the show, to talk some Philly hoops, we'll be joined by Keith Pompey, who covers the 76ers for the Philadelphia Inquirer and Daily News and Philly.com. Also joining to talk NBA Summer League is one of the main people behind bringing the Summer League to Las Vegas, Vice President of the NBA Summer League, and that is Albert Hall at League. And I should say at the Summer League, I did get a chance to talk with both head coach Brad Stevens and the third player picked by the Celtics in this year's draft, Jason Tatum. You'll get to hear both those interviews. And I'll be helped out with this week's Las Vegas 51s report by Doug Bradford, father of New York Mets pitcher and Las Vegas native Chasen Bradford, formerly a Las Vegas 51. And we've got a pretty cool blazon and fact this today. They are both about young athletes breaking records and winning gold. On tap at Bubby's University, earn your degree in food, draft beer, gaming, and the hard stuff, where the only majors are mayhem and good times. Bring your Rebel ID and your first beer is free. You can enroll 24 hours a day. That's right, they're always open. Bubby's University at 4570 South Hualapai between Tropicana and Flamingo. To learn more, check out bubbysuniversity.com.
NBA Summer League now, you've got a couple games under your belt. What do you think? How you feel?
I feel good. Yeah, finally in the NBA, having fun.
That number one draft pick for the Boston Celtics this year, team that went to the Eastern Conference Final, looking to you to take that step up. What do you think of the team so far?
I mean, the team already has their core group and the role of guys. I just got to come in and find my spot.
Seeming easy to you. I know it's not, man, but we're watching out there, and you seem like you're really getting into your groove. You're fitting in. You're figuring things out pretty quick. I know it's not easy, but how do you attest to doing so well so early?
Just having some confidence, that helps, and playing with a great group of guys, you know, like I am. I got a great point guard. And then, it's just you keep playing, you get comfortable every day.
What has Brad Stevens said to you as far as what he expects from you coming in and your role this year on the team?
Being able to spread the floor and defend. They got guys that can score already, so just being able to defend.
Are you looking forward to this matchup? I know there's a lot of teams in the NBA, but, you know, obviously Cleveland was the big hurdle this year to get over. Are you looking forward to taking on them in the regular season?
Yeah, I guess so.
this NBA Summer League, last question. What do you think of the NBA Summer League as far as for you guys to get acclimated with this? I mean, you see Markelle Fultz go down. Is it scary risking injury in a tournament that gets pretty intense?
Yeah, I mean, you can get injured in practice, preseason, regular season, finals. You can get injured anywhere. So, just go play as hard as you can and, you know, try not to think about it.
Jason Tatum, third pick in the NBA draft by the Boston Celtics. And I'll tell you what, it's funny. They had the number one pick. They chose to deal that to Philadelphia, who took Markelle Fultz. Now, again, we only saw him in about a little over a quarter of play in the summer league. Hard to judge. He had 8 points. He played well. But Jason Tatum looks NBA ready and looks like he is going to be a great complement to Isaiah Thomas. And the Boston Celtics, I think, will be an improved team. And considering in the regular season, if there was a regular season, they ended up the number one team in the East. Will they move closer to Cleveland? Well, I mean, Cleveland hasn't done anything, so I guess yes in that respect. Will they beat Cleveland in a 7-game playoff series in the NBA playoffs next year? Hell no. They're not. I mean, they're just not going to do it. LeBron James. And speaking of that, Mags, I haven't seen you in an NBA game, but the Summer League game, but I wanted to tell you, man, it is just the coolest thing ever. It's a who's who. You texted me the other day to say you were at the Venetian and ran into Lauri Markkanen.
Cosmo.
That's right, Cosmo. And at the exact same time you texted me that, I'm standing about 20 feet away from LeBron James. So I just snapped his picture and sent that to you.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy.
Pretty amazing. It's just a who's who of what's going on. We'll talk more with Albert Hall about that, but it is really cool. I mean, you're talking LeBron James, I've stood right next to Magic Johnson for a good 5 minutes in the tunnel, and of course Floyd Mayweather Jr. was
there. Who might be the absolute worst trash talker I've ever heard in my life.
Dude, he's horrible. We talked about that Wednesday on Cofield and Company. I mean, Conor McGregor is stomping him in the trash talking arena.
But it doesn't matter because Floyd will not take care of business in the ring. But yeah, I mean, Floyd's trash talk, dude.
It's terrible.
Just stop.
It's
when your entire premise is how much money you've got.
Yeah. It's bad.
You've
news.
Got nothing.
Yeah, it's really bad. And you know, Conor.
You know what
McGregor,
it reminds me of? It reminds me of the guy talking about how large he is in certain areas.
Right.
Driving the big car to overcompensate, you know, and
he's got real small thumbs.
Yes. Well, yes, exactly. So Floyd talking about how much money he's got, maybe he's trying to overcompensate for the fact that maybe he doesn't have as much money as you think he does.
Well, you know, one thing he did say of all of his trash talking, the one thing I heard him say that made sense and is kind of real, he said, you know, I'm not the same fighter that I was 5 years ago, 10 years ago, you know, 3 years ago. I don't have the same speed. I don't have the same quickness, but I have more than enough to beat Conor McGregor.
Yeah, and I didn't mean to get you off on, you know.
No, I'm just saying.
Off topic, but
I'm
yeah.
I'm just saying
yeah.
That was.
Well, he's absolutely right there in that he isn't the same fight because, you know what, he's had issues with his hands. And 40-year-old fighters, I mean, they lose a step. That doesn't mean that he's not going to beat the hell out of Conor McGregor.
Conor McGregor, the only chance McGregor has, and what we really don't know about McGregor, is really how hard his head is, and we're definitely going to find out on August 26th
His head's going to look like a speed bag, I think.
Yeah, but the point is, whether he gets knocked out or not is going to depend on how hard his head is.
Yeah.
And that's what we're going to find out on the 26th. If he's got one of the hardest heads known to man, he can survive this fight and go the distance. If he doesn't, Floyd Mayweather will record his first knockout in what, like 8 years?
2000. I think it was 2009. I think the last guy he knocked out.
So 8 years.
No, 2011. It was kind of a.
I think it was 2009, Mags.
He knocked out Hatton. And I think he knocked someone out after Hatton in 2011.
I thought it was either way. It's 5 to 7 years or 7 to 9 years ago. It's been a long time, and I think that streak's going to come to an end at 40 years old. But the bottom line is Conor McGregor is about to get the biggest payday. Impossible to try to figure out the calculation of how much money the guy's going to get.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is when it's all said and done, $100 million is not out of the question. It is the biggest payday he will ever get in his life. And why not? I mean, Mags, I'm telling you, for $100 million, would you step in the ring with Floyd Mayweather?
There's absolutely no doubt in my mind. I mean, if the rule was you have to go 5 rounds with him,
You're wasting your time.
I'm wasting my time. But,
if you got to go 30 seconds with Floyd, you just got to make it 30 seconds. Yeah. I'll run for 30 seconds.
You know what? I'll be honest. I really can't take a punch. So if anybody picks a fight with me at the bar, one punch, you're probably going to knock me out. But I could avoid for 30 seconds.
You would think 30 seconds would seem like an awful long time with Floyd Mayweather chasing you around a little ring.
What doesn't worry me is the headshot. What worries me is the body shot. Because
you just stole my thunder. I was going to say, you know what? I've taken some headshots in my life, and I think, you know, I've wrestled lots of. But right now, being in my 50s, there is no way I could take one punch to the abdomen. I'd be completely finished. You might even kill me. So I have to stay away. 30 seconds. I'd have to train. All I would train for that is just run every day as long and as far as I can, because that's what that entire 30 seconds would be running around the ring. Running.
Yeah, I think that. That one body shot just completely takes away that.
Oh, it finishes that, you.
Yeah,
it
because
finishes you.
If Floyd hit me with one like good shot to the gut or or to the ribs, my legs would just crumble.
Oh, God, I can't. I mean, it's the only chance you'd have is the projectile vomit that would go into his face might blind him long enough to keep you around. Yeah. If you could just keel over in the corner and hold the rope and stand up for a little bit, it's still going to be hard.
As long as the ref doesn't get in there and stop it after that one shot.
But think about it.
All right, Magnum, you got anything left? Oh!
Yeah, over in the corner, like, listen, you got to show me that you can do something in the next round. Look, here's what I can do. I can throw up a little more.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's it. And lay down. But, you know, really, realistically, again, he's going to make so much money. It is absolutely absurd. And I just hope that we get our money's worth and at least McGregor takes a few shots and maybe delivers a blow or two. And the only chance he has, because I've had this conversation so many times. I've had this conversation almost as much as I've had the LeVar Ball conversation. And frankly, I'm tired of them both. The only chance Conor McGregor has of winning this fight, it's real simple, Mags, and he has a chance because they're both alive and breathing. He has to absolutely get lucky and catch Floyd Mayweather on the button when that one lax where his guard is down and McGregor just maybe throws a haymaker and it hits him on the button, which is possible. I saw Ernie Shavers do that years ago when I was a young man. I saw him completely out on his feet, and I think it was against Ken Norton Sr., and he threw a haymaker and knocked him out. That's what's going to have to happen. Other than that, forget about it, people. Don't think for a minute that this is going to happen. It's not. Don't waste your money on Conor McGregor. It is amazing how many people really think because of the age difference and because McGregor, they think, is taking this fight so much more seriously than Floyd Mayweather is, that he has a chance. He has never fought 1 second of a professional boxing match in his life. And if you don't think that makes a difference, oh my Lord, people, do a little studying on the history of boxing. There is no way this guy stands a chance in the ring. Listen, we're going to take a break in a second. But, Mags, real quickly, I want to talk about the All-Star game. I'm not going to have time to play the cut that I wanted to play. But one thing I thought was so cool about this All-Star game, and I don't remember it. If it has been done in history, let me know. Maybe I'm wrong. But twice, Joe Buck, once George Springer of the Houston Astros when the American League was in the field.
He's having an MVP-type season.
Oh, my God, is he ridiculous. And then another guy who's having an MVP-type season again, Bryce Harper for the National League, he talked to them while they were in the field playing baseball. And I just thought, man, it was so entertaining. Harper's even talked to him after a little bit. He said, man, I feel like I'm on the NFL Network. And he goes, speaking of that, he goes, so how do you think Dak's going to have, what kind of follow-up season do you think Dak Prescott's going to have this year? And Buck was telling about how impressed he was with Dak Prescott. But Mags, they were having these conversations while the game was going on and they were playing in the field. To me, one of the coolest things to hear, you know, I think to myself when I was playing the outfield, which I did for years, I guess I could have had a little bit of a conversation, but man, when that guy goes to bat, you really got to concentrate. And they talked to Springer right after he fielded a pretty good hit, hard ground ball. I just thought it was an awesome an awesome way to have the All-Star game. An added element, I guess, to say that I think is really cool. And you know what? The game not meaning anything, meaning whichever team won it got to host home field advantage to the World Series.
That was dumb.
It didn't change the game at all. It went into extra innings.
Yeah.
Some unbelievable pitching. You saw a record broken. Hernandez, Mags, if you didn't know that, the pitcher for the Cardinals, do you know that he struck out four batters? That in history, he's only the second guy in the history of the All-Star game to ever strike out four batters. The only other guy to do it was Dizzy Dean in 1934, the second year of the All-Star game.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy with all the guys like Randy Johnson, when John Kruk wouldn't even stay in the batter's box? You think somebody struck out at least four batters? Nope. Was done this year for the second time. Pretty amazing. Some other records as well. But to me, the coolest thing was that interaction. I mean, you've seen interaction with coaches in dugouts before, but never with players in the playing field. Sidelines, yes. Dugout, yes. Never in the playing field. One of the coolest things ever. Listen, on the other side of this break, we've got Keith Pompey. He is a writer for the Philadelphia Inquirer and Daily News and for Philly.com. Guy is awesome. Had him on with me and Chris Wynn at Cofield and Company. I met him down at this past week at the NBA Summer League. Good guy. We'll talk a little bit about Markelle Fultz and what should be a much improved Philadelphia 76ers team if Joel Embiid does come back from that knee injury, what they're hoping to, and they can stay healthy. They're a team that can make some noise. Also down the road, we've got Albert Hall, the vice president of the NBA Summer League. He'll let you know how you can still get tickets for the semifinals to take place tonight. And by the way, Lonzo Ball and the Lakers are playing in the nightcap tonight. And then the two winners will play tomorrow night in the championship game, which again could feature Lonzo Ball. I jump on tickets if you can. Albert will help you out with that. And like I said, a little bit later on today, we're going to talk to the 51s report, Doug Bradford, who I'm sure is beaming. Chasing a little struggling here or there, but he's played in a couple of games now. He's still wearing that Mets uniform, and it's really cool to see this guy finally get in the major leagues. We got Fact This, we got Blazin, all coming your way right here on Out of Line. Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM, 1340 AM, home of the Vegas Golden Knights, the NHL's newest franchise, starting play this fall. Joined now by Keith Pompey, among other assignments, covers the Philadelphia 76ers for the Philadelphia Inquirer and Daily News and Philly.com. Talking a little NBA Summer League and, you know, an injury to the first player picked in the NBA draft. Keith, it had to feel a little bit like deja vu all over again at first. It turns out to only be an ankle sprain, but it's got to feel like when you first saw that, like, oh my God, are we snake bit?
Yeah, initially when it first happened, you did feel like, oh my God, it's just, am I covering a team that's snake bit? And, you know, when you think of the Sixers, I mean, you think of, you know, Joel Embiid missing his first two seasons. You know, Ben Simmons missing his first season. And then Nerlens Noel missing his rookie season because of injury. So when you see Markelle Fultz fall to the floor, to the court rather, it's one of those things where you're saying to yourself, here they go again.
You know, crazy, we talked about it. Of course, Keith was on with Chris Wynn and I when we did Cofield and Company on Wednesday and see him down at the game. Philadelphia, a lot of people are talking about this team as being one of the most improved teams in the National Basketball Association. On paper, there's not a question about that. The thing is off paper. Again, Joel Embiid recovering from knee surgery. How is that going, Keith? I mean, the thought of having Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid, a few other guys, and now Markelle Fultz, all healthy on this team, some tremendous young talent, potentially the foundation of a very young super team if everyone could just find a way to stay healthy for an entire season.
Yeah. I mean, on paper, you know, everything seems, you know, to be going on par. I mean, you have, you know, Simmons was out there working out, you know, before in the morning, you know, with the trainers. You know, Embiid is doing his stuff. You know, both of them are projected to be back by the start of the regular season, at the start of training camp. You know, so on paper, it sounds good. The only thing is, And some people even think that they have a chance to battle for a playoff spot in the East. The only thing I caution people is that it's going to be an extremely young team. I mean, you're going to have, you know, Embiid, who played in 31 games. You're going to have Simmons and Folks, who are going to be two guys who are playing in their rookie season. So they're going to go, as good as they are on paper, they're going to go through their learning curve. You know what I mean? They're going to have to, you know, go through some pains and whatnot. So I think that it's a little bit premature for people to anoint this team as, like, a superpower already when they're going to have to go through some growing pains.
Oh, no doubt. They definitely have to mature, learn the NBA game, and more importantly, they're great talents from what we've seen when they were healthy, but, you know, great talents also have to learn how to play together and get along and all that, and that's still yet to be seen. You know, a lot of people, and I've been hearing this a lot, especially on some sports talk shows, that this should be a G League showcase and nothing more, that the top draft picks and prospects shouldn't play here. I'll tell you what, after watching it, especially this year, I completely disagree with that. I think this is such a great learning experience for the young players and a great way for them, first and foremost, to start knowing each other, especially the younger players that are going to make it in the league, and a great way for guys that are right on that bubble, on the edge of G League, NBA, get a chance to showcase their talent. There is that risk of injury, but again, Keith, I've had this conversation with so many people over the last week and a half. I mean, these guys, you can get injured in practice, right?
You're exactly right. I mean, you think of Ben Simmons, he got injured in practice. I mean, he got injured the last practice of training camp, you know, coming down, stepping on the teammate's foot. So I agree 100%. And also, you know, what this is, the Summer League is basically introducing the stars of tomorrow. You know, I mean, you know, they come here and like, you know, if you're a high lottery pick, you know, you're expected to dominate, you know, because you're going up against other first round picks or guys who, you know, are deemed like backups or guys battling to make it in the NBA. So you are expected to dominate. But at the same time, this is an introduction. I mean, you know, they look forward to this. A lot of guys, they haven't played 5-on-5 basketball since the last time they played in college. So, yeah, again, it's one of those things. I can see where some people have that argument. But let's face it, everyone's coming here to see the Markelle Fultz, the Lonzo Balls, you know, the Josh Jacksons, and so forth. So, you know, they need to play in this game for that, for the fans. And they also need to play in this game just to get their introduction to the NBA life.
I agree with that 100%. We saw last year Pat McCaw leading statistically in a lot of categories last year, scoring-wise anyways, in the NBA Summer League. And look at how much confidence, not that Steve Kerr wasn't aware of him, and you know, he said a lot of complimentary things about him before he even came into the league when they drafted him in the second round, but the NBA Summer League kind of solidified and validified what he said. I would say the same thing this year. One of the guys that I saw that stood out, especially yesterday, Spencer Dunwoody, I actually interviewed him when he was in college playing here in the Pac-12 tournament, and last night against the LA Lakers, you know, he showed. Last year he was getting a few minutes with Brooklyn here and there, played in a decent amount of games, like 59 games. But last night, you know, I'm sure at Brooklyn, they're like, wow, this kid's pretty good and something we can still build on. And guys like him get a chance in this league, and it was what I really like about it. Listen, last thing I wanted to ask you, Keith, today, if somehow Philadelphia, these guys, we kind of talked about a little bit the growing pains and that, but if they did stay healthy and Embiid comes back, he's fine. Simmons, his body's great. It works this year. And of course, Fultz turns out to be everything Philly hoped they could be. I know he's a rookie. They're all young. What are the best expectations you would have for him if everything went perfectly this year?
You know, I think if everything goes perfectly for him this year, I think that they can battle or they'll be in the hunt for an Eastern Conference playoff seed. You know what I mean? I'm not saying that they'll make it, but I'm just saying that they will be there. Like, they'll be one of those teams that's battling for it. You know, it's like they do have a lot of talent. But the thing is, we like I said before, like, we kind of have to be realistic. Now, I know the Western Conference is a whole lot tougher than the East, but you look at Minnesota last year, where they have Carl Anthony Towns, Andrew Wiggins, you know, and they only won three more games than the 76ers. You know what I mean? And their young talent is on par with the Sixers. Now, again, they were in the West, but with that being said, you have to go through growing pains. Now, the fact that the Sixers are going to be in the East, I see them battling for a playoff spot, but that doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, they'll make it, but I think that they will be, you know, battling for there. So probably with maybe 38, 39, maybe 40 victories, you know.
Hey, you know what I like about it? My take on Philly, if they have everything works out perfectly, to answer like the question you just answered, I think this will be a tremendous year of growth and learning for the Philadelphia 76ers. And 3 years down the road, if they continue to stay healthy, improve, and meet the expectations that Philadelphia had when they acquired these guys and drafted them, I think you could see a really good team down the road. And they could be a team that in time, as Cleveland gets depleted, would be right there with Boston competing for an Eastern Conference title 3 to 5 years down the road. But again, that's if everyone stays healthy and in a perfect world.
I agree 100% with you.
Keith Pompey, again, Philadelphia Inquirer and Daily News and Philly.com. You can check Keith out. Follow him on Twitter at Pompey on Sixers. Keith, really appreciate you taking time out and getting up early this morning in Vegas.
All right, man. Thanks for having me. Thanks for having me on your show, bro.
Absolutely. We'll do it again for sure. Hey, listen, got to take a quick break. We will come back on the other side. We have Blazin'. We have Fact This. Albert Hall coming up. Doug Bradford, you are listening to Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM, 1340 AM.
This is why I'm hot. This is why I'm hot. This is why I'm hot.
Time for Blazin', brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings at the 215 and Montecito, actually the 215 North Durango in the Montecito Crossing Plaza, a stone's throw from Centennial Hills Hospital. Two happy hours every day, America's number one choice for wings, beer, and sports.
My name is Cody Bellinger, and my favorite player is Manny Ramirez.
Part of an Arizona offense that takes very few pitches. Had a couple of singles, two runs scored in the ballgame. Third time up. Bellinger takes that one to left field. That is back at the wall. Goodbye, another home run. Bellinger delivers a two-out, two RBI homer. And it is a 9-4 Arizona lead.
The 2007 Little League World Series. No, that's not what Blazin'. That was Cody Bellinger, who is, of course, a former Little League World Series star and current all-star of the Los Angeles Dodgers. And as of yesterday, one of the youngest players in Major League history at 22 years and 2 days old to hit for the cycle. And he did it the hard way by getting the last triple, or I should say by getting the triple, in his last at-bat.
Rips one into right center, and it's over Stanton's glove.
Okay, sorry about that. But anyways, Cody Bellinger hit for the cycle yesterday. If you saw that, Mags, it was absolutely incredible. Did it, and again, the triple on his last at bat. It's the hardest hit to get. He's only had one in his major league career. That was his second triple, his first ever cycle. And here's what he had to say about it afterwards.
And I thought, you know, Stan was going to catch it. I don't know if he lost in the lights, but yeah, once I saw it get past him, I kind of, you know, busted to get to third, and hopefully it was my first career cycle ever, so it was pretty cool.
I'd say pretty cool, man. Cody Bellinger, a future star, 22 years old, first ever Dodger to hit for the cycle, and he is, I think, like the fourth youngest player or fifth youngest player to ever do it in Major League Baseball history. It's incredible. This kid, the sky is the limit for Cody Bellinger.
That's an amazing stat, what you said. The first Dodger to hit for this. When you think
first
about...
First Dodger rookie. I'm sorry. Okay. Let me get that straight. First Dodger rookie. Still, That's still pretty incredible.
Yeah,
when
yeah,
you think Jackie Robinson was a Dodger, and if you think anybody could hit for the cycle, that would have been a guy as a rookie that could have done it.
Yeah, well, the Dodgers, obviously a very storied history. And Cody Bellinger, since he's come up, the Dodgers have been, I think it's been neck and neck with them and the Astros for the two best teams in baseball.
Oh, yeah.
And you know what? At this point, don't even play the playoffs. Give me those two teams in the World Series. I'm not a guy who cares about ratings. I hate that. Oh, well, you know, I don't want to see this because the ratings are going to suck. I don't care. I'm not a TV executive. I don't care about the ratings. I care about interesting matchups, and that's what I want to see. I want to see the Astros and Dodgers in the World Series. I don't care about the Nationals. Don't care about the Mets. I should, but they suck. Those are the two teams
you know what's nice, though?
And, you know what, though? Someone's going to ruin it. One of those two teams won't make it.
That's what I was just about to say, Max. What's nice is as dominating as those two teams have been, it won't be like the NBA. Either one of those two teams could be beat by a handful of teams in a seven-game series. That's why I like all sports. The NBA is hard to swallow because you really want to have other teams being able to compete, and that's just not the case right now. Dodgers are also great. Max, they're pitching. I mean, not just Kershaw, but this kid, Alex Wood, pitched again yesterday. Now the leader in ERA, 1.56, 11-0. On the season, he could have been my Blazin' just as well. I know we're running behind, Mags. What do you got for me, Blazin'?
Well, I don't know how you go against Roger Federer, the guy this morning won his eighth Wimbledon since 2002. You could add up everyone else in those last 15 years, and Roger Federer has them all beat. Think about that. Every player who's played in Wimbledon since 2002, probably hundreds, maybe thousand of them, Roger Federer has more titles than all of them combined. Didn't drop a set in Wimbledon this year. The guy is the greatest tennis player ever. And I think when we talk about greatest athletes ever, the guy gets overlooked maybe because tennis isn't so big in this country anymore. The guy is just unbelievable. He's got the life. I mean, he's born in a great country like Switzerland, has the hot wife, multi-millionaire.
Very jealous.
And the best,
very jealous.
And the best tennis player to ever walk the planet.
I can't argue with that. And keeps himself in tremendous shape at his age.
And he's
incredible.
Humble. That's the other thing.
Unbelievably humble. I like it, Mags. Blazin' brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings, 215 in North Durango, Montecito Crossing Plaza, stone's throw from Centennial Hills Hospital, America's favorite place for wings, beer, and sports. Time now for Fact This. Brighton Zuner could have been my Blazin'. And that's a fact. This is what she did. She just became the youngest gold medalist ever at the 2007 Summer X Games. She won
2017.
2017, you're right about that. Hey, I'm off. I'm still tired, man. A lot of Summer League games. But this young lady, Mag, she just turned 12 years old. Oh.
Celebrate with Dairy Queen and maybe
balloons and maybe Ronald McDonald. 12 years old as of yesterday, the youngest gold medalist ever in X Games history, summer or winter. Pretty damn impressive. And I watched her final routine. She beat the silver medalist by like 2 points. You know how hard that is to do?
12 years old and she already achieved more in her athletic career than I ever have or will.
You and me both, brother. You and me both. Hey, let's turn the pages quickly. I got Albert Hall in line. He is the vice president of NBA Summer League. They are down to four teams. And again, Albert is also the founder of Hall Pass Media. And Albert, I appreciate you taking a short breather to give us some of your time this morning. But then again, you owe me for sleeping in 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, exactly. That little girl sounds like Warren and I after a couple of the games last night.
Seriously, I was blown away by it. I got home and I'm like, wow, when I saw what she did, I'm like, she's got to be my fact this today. Albert, 13 years now, and each year it seems like it's gotten bigger and more prestigious. I mean, if you're looking to see celebrities, the NBA Summer League delivers big time. Albert, a couple of nights ago, I watched an entire game standing about 20 feet from LeBron James, and that was pretty damn cool. Do you feel like the Summer League is now to the point of being considered by the NBA as a true proving ground for players trying to earn a roster spot in the NBA, just as it is for the high-profile top draft picks to showcase why they were just that?
Without a doubt. I mean, it's proven itself, as we've been saying this year, taken 14 years to become an overnight success, right? But the what happens on the floor and as far as the player development and the just the development all the way around from players, coaches, technology, whatever it may be. I mean, everyone is always trying to get better at the Summer League. And I think this year, more so than ever, with the addition of ESPN, really amplifying their coverage, you know, the extent of the coverage, not only just the games, but some of the side features and some of the profiles and what it takes to get here. I mean, people have really caught on to this. They realize, wow, for a real affordable price, I can go out there. I can feel like an insider, see some amazing basketball. I mean, some of the games we've had have just been nail biters. The competition is at an all-time high. You know, I think the players really look forward to it. The guys that are here and getting a guy like LeBron or whoever else it may be to come out and check it out. I mean, they want to see what these young guys are made of.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. I was watching LeBron James. I actually felt sorry for him for a minute. The poor guy's trying to watch Lonzo Ball, and I noticed everyone in our section is looking at him. I thought, this poor guy, if he has to pick his nose or something, 30,000 people see it. I mean, it's just the way it is to be LeBron James. Not that I want you to feel sorry for him, but he's so big, to put it in perspective. Terry Cummings, who was sitting almost right next to me, went over and asked LeBron politely if he would take a picture with his wife, and LeBron hugs him like, Terry, I know you, of course, you know? Is putting in perspective how, you know, LeBron James is the president of basketball. I mean, it was incredible. But I saw Floyd Mayweather Jr. there. I got a chance to talk to Magic Johnson for a few minutes. I was like a kid in a candy store. All that said,
everyone is. I mean, that's the beauty of it. And a guy, just one note on LeBron, like him or not, that guy handles his responsibilities like no other. He really does. I mean, he is a class act. He handles it. He makes sure he does what he needs to do with class, with respect. So, you know, we open the doors to all of our former players, John Wall, James Harden, Brad Beal. I mean, these guys come out every year, support what we're doing. They started there. You know, that's the thing, is we always tell them, Andrew Wiggins the other day, or I was even talking with Dennis Smith Jr. last night, just like, hey, this is home for you. You know, if you ever want to come back, the door is open. We love it when our guys come back. They really enjoy it. And again, it's pure basketball. It's what they do. And it's Vegas. They always have fun out here. You know, they keep their nose clean. They're, you know, really like coming out here, not only to see the hoops, but it's a fun environment. And I mean, the atmosphere inside the building, it's tough to beat. I think that's as good as any NBA arena.
Oh, it's ridiculous. First of all, Thomas and Mac is a very intimate environment, yet it is a top-notch collegiate arena and can easily house a pro team. Yet Cox, the Cox Pavilion is awesome. People, you are watching NBA players in an oversized high school gymnasium. I mean, it's more prestigious than that, but that's the intimacy you feel in that environment. It's so cool. Albert, I got to ask you, who is the best player to play in Summer League to date based on what he's done in the NBA?
Wow, that's a good question. You know, Russell Westbrook was pretty good the little limited time he played there. I think,
Durant
was a good one. I mean, John Wall was pretty good. Even though Jeremy Lin tore him up that first game, I mean, John Wall was really, really good. Brandon Roy was amazing. Right there you go. There's a name, you know, we forget about how good he
was. No doubt about it.
I mean, yeah, Blake Griffin. I mean, the list goes on and on. And that's where, if you look up at the walls that we have, as far as our 10-year anniversary, we did kind of a montage of players, and they were amazing. I mean, if you look down, everyone on that wall turned into really an NBA All-Star type caliber player. You know, Jimmy Butler, you look at him, like, he was a guy who people weren't really sure how good he was. I mean, he came out and just beasted on guys. And, you know, each year it's different. I mean, this year I think, you know, the point guards have really shined. We knew this was going to be a good class with Lonzo and Fox and Dennis Smith and you name it. And I think all of those guys have really stepped up their game. I mean, this year, guy, take a look at our Final Four teams with Portland, Memphis, Dallas, and the Lakers. And I mean, Memphis, Wayne Selden, he was hurt last year during Summer League and didn't really do much. This year, he's been arguably the best player here and definitely an all-tournament team guy. So you just never know who's going to step up, and that's the beauty of Summer League as well.
You get to see some great things. What's the matchup you're hoping for Monday night? I'm guessing, based on proximity and crowd, Lakers Portland.
Yeah, I mean that one would be great. We're all on the Laker bandwagon this year. There's no doubt about it. I mean, it's exciting. They're catching lightning in a bottle. And whether you're a Laker fan or not, you know, I think it's time for people. People want to see that the page turned, you know, and I think Lonzo was a good fit for them. You know, we were talking last night. People forget they're missing Josh Hart, too, their other number one pick, you know. That guy's missing some really good reps, but I think anything to do with Portland Lakers would be beneficial, but something tells me that you know Dallas isn't going to go quietly, and neither is Memphis. So it's great the tournament portion that we had. You know, when we first did it, people were a little. Anytime there's change, people are a little reluctant. You know, hey, they wanted to do their five games and get out of here. Well, now you've seen a completely different mentality of the guys really playing hard. You know, they want to continue this thing. If they're this far, they're like, hey, let's win this thing. So I think all four teams have been playing really well. Portland's shooting the ball extremely well. I mean, Jake Layman is putting up buckets, and Caleb Swanigan has been he's shown that he was a really good pick, you know, thus far in summer league, a big man who can pass, really understands the pro game. So we'll see this tonight. I mean, there'll be some really good games.
Okay, for those who still want to get tickets for today's games and for the championship game tomorrow night, which very well could feature Lonzo Ball and the Los Angeles Lakers, what's left, how much, and where can they get them?
I can go to NBATickets.com, dial 702-739-FANS, or go to the UNLV box office. Tickets are available both tonight and tomorrow. Our games today are 3 o'clock and 5 p.m., and the championship game tomorrow at 7 o'clock. Tickets still available. We expect great crowds, so if you have a chance or have any interest in coming out, please pick them up. It's free parking, adults $30 and kids $20.
Great deals. Albert Hall, Vice President of the NBA Summer League here in Las Vegas and the main man behind and in front of Hall Pass Media. Follow the NBA Summer League on Twitter at NBA Summer League and follow Hall Pass Media at Hall Pass Media. We appreciate you giving us a few of your precious free moments this morning, Albert. We'll see you in a couple hours, my friend.
All right, guys. Really appreciate it. Thanks for the support.
Absolutely. Hey, we transition from one to the next. Let's move right over. It's our time for our Las Vegas 51s report, brought to you by the Las Vegas 51s. They're out of this world. I'm doing that report with the father of a former Las Vegas 51, current relief pitcher of the New York Mets, Chasen Bradford. His dad's Doug's on the line. What's going on, Doug?
Well, it's a beautiful day here at Desert Golf Course where I'm playing. It's just awesome here.
Beautiful day outside, man. How proud are you? Last time I talked to you, we were talking about how Chasen is just going to have a good time, take it in stride, and accept where he is. Well, where he is now is in the Big Apple playing for the New York Mets, who, by the way, finally, after the All-Star break, seem to be getting together a little bit.
Yeah, you know, it was really interesting because we talked on Father's Day, and just, three or four days later, he calls me up and actually sent me a text message and said, you better buy a ticket to L.A., and I said, seriously? He says, yeah, because I'm pitching there tonight. And I was just absolutely flabbergasted. So I drove to L.A. that night. He didn't get a chance to pitch, but he got his name up on the Dodger scoreboard because he was going to go in for relief. But the manager chose not to play him that night. Then I had to wait a couple of nights because then they flew to San Francisco, and I got to see him pitch on TV on Sunday. It was just awesome.
It's just so cool. It's funny, just a friend, but I'm so proud of him, man. It is just such a great story. 27 years old, and it tells you, don't ever give up on your dream. What I love about what Chasen said to me at the beginning of the season, he reiterated it again on the show on Father's Day, and it was that this year he dedicated himself to doing what he did at the very beginning and why he played baseball from day one, and that was to have fun. And look what going back to what you originally started playing for does for you. You take the pressure off yourself. You say, hey, I made it to this level. I'm obviously good enough. So let me just have some fun and see what happens. And look what happened, man. The big show.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and I think there's a changeover in the types of personnel that are now coming up to the Mets, too. If you look at, you know, Paul Sewald's a young kid. They've got quite a few young kids, T.J. Rivera, you know, from the 51s as well. So my understanding is Terry Collins' last year as a manager because he's retiring. So I think Alderson is a general manager. Sandy Alderson's putting into place the future of the Mets.
Well, I'll tell you.
Like, like you said, the last couple of games, they have played very, very well, and this is where they need to kick it into gear.
Well, I agree, and I'll tell you what, there's two other guys that are going to be on this team very soon that will continue to short up. Ahmad Rosario is going to be, in my prediction, one of the best shortstops in Major League Baseball, and don't sleep on Dominic Smith at first base down here in Las Vegas, because this guy is a player and a masher. They'll find room for him as well. So proud of Chase, and Doug, always welcome on the show, man. Congratulations. Please give him our best and tell him we're always pulling for him and checking him out. Doug Bradford, absolutely, father of Chase and Bradford, Las Vegas 51's report. Appreciate you, my friend.
All right, thanks, guys.
Have absolutely. We're out of time. This is Out of Line. We are here every Sunday morning, 8 to 9 a.m., Fox Sports Radio, home of the Vegas Golden Knights. That is 98.9 FM, 1340 a.m. We'll see you next week. If you like the show, tell your friends. If you don't like it, tell them anyways. Out of line, out of time. See ya.